Romans chapter 4, we're going to consider for the next few minutes the faith of Abraham. We know many things about the faith of Abraham. We praise and honor him. Of course, we praise the Lord. We even idolize Abraham for his faith. But consider this, some very important elements about Abraham's faith tonight. And that's what we're going to look at real quickly here this evening. Let's begin reading in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then," and this is a critical part of this passage of Scripture, "cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also?" And you know that circumcision was a ceremony that God began with Abraham. And the question is, was he justified before that act of circumcision or afterwards? And the Bible is very plain about this as well. How was it then reckoned? His faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Verse 10 says, "When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." And so the issue here is, even though he was the father of circumcision, as verse 12 says, he is the father not only of the circumcision, but also of the uncircumcision, those who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so the first thing we see about Abraham's faith was that it was saving faith. And though it's hard to believe that something in something we can't see, and this is exactly how God challenged Abraham, he said in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll look back to that in just a moment, get thee out of thy country, away from your kindred to a land that I will show thee. He hadn't seen it yet. And so his response was purely a faith response. He hadn't seen what God promised him, but he believed God. We learn in the Scriptures it's not about works or sacraments, but about faith. And we read a little further on, verse 13 says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And God wants people just to believe him. What's the issue of faith? Well, the issue of faith is just having confidence in God's character. I believe this because God said so, and God is trustworthy. I believe the reason why so many people resort to other things, in fact, Jesus in Matthew spoke of people, I think it's chapter 15, people putting higher priority on their works, their traditions, than even the commandment of God. He said, "You've made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions." People that put so much emphasis on traditions do so because that's something they can hang their hat on, so to speak. That's something they can see with their eyes, and they just don't have to invest themselves in something they can't see because they imagine, this is better. If you can see it, that's better than having to just trust in something that you can't see with your eyes. But that's what God insists on for salvation. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing what we can't see. And we'll examine this a little bit more later on. Abraham's faith was saving faith. And it was not because of works. Abraham's faith, secondly, was serving faith. And notice verse 17. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And he becomes the spiritual father of all who believe, as the one who believes. Not just the spiritual father, not just the father of Israel, although he was also that. The Bible says there's Israel and then there's a spiritual Israel. And Abraham is the spiritual father of all those who believe. And he led the way, as it were. Verse 17 says, as is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And isn't that interesting? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham's faith was not only a saving faith, but it was also a serving faith. Verse 19 says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The doctrine of imputation is a very important one. And salvation is the blessings of salvation are imputed to us by faith. And the Bible says it was not by works that they were imputed to Abraham, but it was by faith. He lived by this same faith. And the Bible says in verse 19 there that he staggered not. Verse 20, I'm sorry. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God had promised him something. And a good question for us is, do we live like this? Do we live this way? Are we hesitant to trust God, to believe that God will keep his promises and keep his word? This is a challenge that every one of us should respond to. The Bible says, Abraham, and this was very hard to believe, you're going to be a father. And he made him this promise when he was only 75 years old, and now almost 25 years had passed. And God was still saying the same thing. He was far beyond. In fact, at age 100, one could imagine that he had one foot in the grave already. And he said, you're still going to be a papa. And your wife, who's 90 years old, just 10 years younger than you, is going to be the mother. And yet the Bible says he staggered not at that promise. He just accepted what God said. And do we live that way ourselves? Do we accept what God has said? Do we have to see it to believe it? Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And most of you are familiar with this verse of Scripture. But it's got a very specific meaning in Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 11, the Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And is that an absolute promise? It's true, but are we listening? And one writer said that we hear, but we don't really listen sometimes. God says, my word will accomplish what I sent it forth to do. And the only condition on that is that people be willing to listen to it. And every week you hear teaching and preaching from the word of God right here. But the question, it's a legitimate question, am I really listening? Am I applying what I hear? Am I embracing it and believing it? Or does it fall upon deaf ears? You recall Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Lots of seed was sown, but very little of it accomplished anything. Most of the time it fell on hard soil, or it fell on thorny soil, or it fell on stony soil, and it did not become fruitful. Why is that? Is there something wrong with a seed? No, there's nothing wrong with a seed. It's just that people don't always necessarily listen and accept and apply what they hear. And so the Word of God being effective in our life is dependent upon us hearing it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 with me, please. In Proverbs chapter 1, here's a very serious response to the truth of the Word of God being rejected. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof." And God says that the consequences will not be happy ones. Verse 26, "I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh," because you had the opportunity to hear the truth and respond to the truth, but you did not listen and you didn't apply that truth in your life properly. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, verse 26, Acts 28:26, the Bible says this. The Apostle Paul said these words, saying, "Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive." And this was a response to why the Lord spoke in parables to the people. And he said it's because they're not listening, they're not giving attention, they're not giving heed to what I'm saying anyway. And so what's the point of giving them the full explanations of the truth? I'll just talk to them in parables, because they're not listening anyway. And this is a serious error that people make when they refuse to hear and refuse to heed God's word. We should always listen to what God has to say, because it will powerfully impact us on one level or other. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and Abraham's faith was a serving faith. He was, because he was willing to listen, he was willing to apply what God said to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why is that? "Because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Does that mean that unsaved people just can't understand the gospel? No, many times they just don't understand it because their ears are blocked. Their heart is not really listening. Otherwise, nobody could get saved. If the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God and it's all foolishness unto him, he can't know it, then how could an unsaved person ever be saved? But the problem is that a lot of times people hear, but they're not really hearing. And so the question is, are you listening? Have you prepared your heart to hear what God has to say to you? There are many references in the Old Testament and the New Testament about a person preparing their heart. And you've all heard it. It's almost cliched. What did you talk about on the way to church tonight? You know, did you have an argument with your spouse, or were you yelling at your kids? Or were you preparing your heart for what the Lord may give you in this service? Heart preparation is so critically important. It's important that we be prepared to listen. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Ezra in the Old Testament, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Just before Nehemiah, Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. Here the Word of God says this: "But for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." He was preparing his heart. He was ready for what the Lord would give him, and so he was able to receive it. Look at Psalm 10, Psalm 10, verse 16. Psalm 10, verse 16 says, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed and the man of the earth, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. He said, God, I'm trusting you to prepare people's heart to work in people's lives so that they'll hear the truth, so they'll be able to apply it. And that's the reason that Abraham's faith was a serving faith, because he was listening. He was listening. And he was anxious to apply what God gave him. The third thing that I see is Abraham's faith was a sacrificial faith. In Genesis chapter 22, God called upon him to make a deep sacrifice. And the Bible gives us the reason that it was to prove whether he believed God or not. And in Genesis chapter 22, we read verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or put Abraham to the test and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And later on in the chapter, in verse 22, God says, it's not verse 22, it's a little earlier than this. The Bible says in verse 12, And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Didn't God know that ahead of time? Could he not see that Abraham was a man who was willing to follow God's instructions? Did God need to put Abraham to the test to know this about him, to know that he said, Now I know that thou believest me, and you would not withhold your own son. I believe this was more for Abraham's benefit than it was for the Lord's. Ever after, Abraham would look back on those days and say to himself, I passed the ultimate test. God challenged me to give up my son. And why would he do that? He'd promised Isaac as the promised seed. And he said, I'm going to raise up a nation, a great nation, through him to you. What might God threaten to take away from you to prove whether you really believe him or not? What might God say, I'm going to take this away. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? If he threatened to take away your life or your wife or your children or whatever it is that you hold most dear to yourself, would you trust him anyway? And Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost his friends. And some would say he even lost his wife because she sort of turned against him in the whole process. Maybe it was because of her grief, But would you still be faithful to him? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if you take everything I have, including my life, he lost his health. Would you still believe him? Would you still trust him? Abraham's faith was sacrificial faith. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to prove that he trusted God. And Abraham's faith ultimately was a safe faith. It was never in question, though he never experienced the fullness of God's promises in his lifetime. He did, from heaven, see the fulfillment of them, and his seed did become a great nation, as numerous as God said they would be. And he ultimately did experience remotely his God's promise that all nations of the world would be blessed through Abraham. He didn't have to see it. You know what? He didn't have to get it. He didn't have to understand it. God said it, and that should settle it in his mind. He didn't need to understand. He didn't need to have it figured out. His faith was such that he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to put his confidence in God and serve the Lord no matter what, whether he could understand it, whether he really got it or not. And so the question is whether God keeps his word. And you know he does, but do you trust him and do you walk with him by faith? do I? You know, there are a lot of things that have happened in recent months that we don't understand. And they're mysteries to us. And all we can say is, I'm just trusting the Lord to provide the answers. And you know what? And I've told you this before, I'll tell you again, I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same situation. We're just trusting God to give us answers because we don't necessarily know the reasons why or what God is planning to do. And we have some idea, but we don't know for sure. We can't guarantee that that's what God has in mind. And will you trust him even if he doesn't make things crystal clear to you? Will you keep on believing him even if it costs you something? Will you put your faith and trust in him relative to salvation like Abraham did? Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And that was the key to his confidence and his salvation. Do you know for sure that you know the Lord? And are you living by faith? Let's pray.